welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
You know, I've always been a good discerner of the Spirit. That's okay. Keep playing to me. Keep playing. I've always been a good discerner of the Spirit, and that's one of the things that I learned from my mentor, Dr. Croft, amen, during my tenure under him, is to yield to the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I understand clearly is when there's a spirit of heaviness in the room, amen. I just want you to know that it's going to be all right, amen. That's all I stopped by to tell you this morning. It's going to be all right, amen. Y'all keep praying. You keep serving the Lord. You keep coming. You keep being faithful. Keep giving your tithes. Amen. Church, amen. Because the lights got to stay on and the bills got to be paid and the staff has to be able to minister to you. But whatever it is you're dealing with this morning that's got you heavy, come what may, my soul says what? Says what? God wants a what? A complete what? An indeed what? A sure enough what? And your finances what? With your children what? And your marriages what? At your jobs what? In your prayer life what? What does God want from you, Redeemer, and require? A yes, and another yes. Amen. Listen. When I first came here, I was 28 years old. I ain't got nothing to prove. I'm not trying to pump you up or make you shout. I'm 43 now. Amen. I get it. If you ain't come to praise God, ain't nothing I could do or say to make you worship him. But when you didn't been through some stuff, come here 8 years and God has kept you over and over again and he's paid your bills. Nobody got to tell you to worship. Nobody got to tell you to get on your feet. When you sat on the front row and buried your dead loved ones, nobody got to pump you up. When you know that God will walk you through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't care if you got to shed a tear, wave your hand, cry, laugh, jump, run. You know that 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 God has been good. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I know what the Lord has done for me and my family. And I just came to let you know, personally, it will be all right. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalm 13 for me. Amen. Y'all don't know. It's been 8 years since I've been in this pulpit on a Sunday morning. Then done funerals and everything else. But I'm glad to get up at the sacred desk at Redeemer, my church home. I'm not no guest preacher, amen. I is a son of this church, ordained in this church, amen. Had my babies baptized in this church, attended the daycare and graduated in this church, amen. Then buried half of y'all family in this church, counseled most of y'all in my office in this church. Then dried some of your crying eyes in this church. Amen. I'm preaching already. Then had to counsel people out of divorce in this church. So Redeemer will always have a special place in my heart. And my wife knows that when I shut my eyes, and I hope it's no time soon, that I will be buried in this church. Amen. This will always be home. I don't know what you heard or what you think you know. But this will always be my church home, amen? And just like I appreciate the love you have for me, I so give it back to you, amen? My daughter said, Dad, why don't people act like that with you over there? And I said, honey, when you're faithful and you do what God tell you to do in people's lives, after 8 years when they treat you like that, you must have done something right, amen? And if I have done anything right at this church, I just tried to be faithful. Amen. And so my hope and prayer this morning is that you will receive me in that way. Amen. I know the Negro's talking, so I'm going to give you an addendum. Amen. Sister Kimberly and I will celebrate 20 years of marriage in 2 weeks. Amen. Now, I ain't perfect. I made mistakes during that 20. So I'm trying to make the next 20 better. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, no, we were never separated. No, we were never divorced. I heard all kind of craziness. Amen. And I just want to get that out of the way. We have 3 beautiful daughters. Of one is only here today. The other 2 then grown up as well. So they got to work. Amen. Amen. The oldest is in college. She working. Amen. The one twin is working. Amen. And the twin that's here ain't working right now, but was working this summer. Amen. So if you live in our household, you're going to work. Amen. And so they're products of this church where we taught ministry. And we taught all our young people, you need to work. Amen. So I'm grateful that through everything that we've been through, that I've had the power of a praying wife beside me. Amen. And like I said, I need you to know that the entire time my wife has been my rock and my daughters, there's not one day that went by that I did not think about the Church of the Redeemer. Amen. And as much as I tried to get away from South Philly, living down here working, God wouldn't let me go. I have served in an alternative school nearby. And after that, I serve now at Beth Anna. And whether you know it or not, I'm the one that recommended them to y'all for the 4th floor to work over there all them years. Amen. I gave them the recommendation for Redeemer because I love this church and I want the best for this church. So our building is right across the street from you. Beth Anna services the kids in the community from 0 to 21. And they're a Christian social service agency. And I want you to know, when you think you can run away from God's work, he always will find a way to pull you back to it. So at Beth Anna, I work with teenagers as a life skills coach from 14 to 21. And your kids, amen? My kids, amen, in the hood. All our schools mostly are in South Philadelphia. So no matter how much I tried to get out the community and serve in another community, God said, I'm not done with you down here. Amen. I've also been privileged to serve teaching parenting classes regularly in state-run prison halfway houses. So what God did, and I want you to know, this is the crux for my sermon today in Psalm 13. I want to preach from the topic, if it doesn't kill you, it will make you stronger. Amen. So what the Lord did, he got me out of the four walls and put me in the show enough hood. Amen. In the jails, in the schools with our babies. Amen. In homes where we deal with DHS cases where all types of evil are happening to our children. God wanted me to see real ministry and experience real ministry outside of the four walls. You do know that Jesus spent most of his time outside of the four walls of the church. Amen. And so I need you to know there's work to be done in our community where I live and serve. Amen. Psalm 13, if you would. Hallelujah. Praise God, Brother Tony T. There's a lot of people here. I was going to call names. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to get in trouble, but it's good to see all my friends that are here. Amen. I do have to acknowledge one of my guests, 2 of them from work, Pastor Myra Maxwell of the Trinity United Methodist Church nearby. Amen. Pastor Myra, would you wave? And my supervisor's here, Miss Samantha Smith. Her dad is Willie Graves. He serves in North Philadelphia, been preaching a long time. And I'm grateful to have a spirit-led, spirit-filled, saved supervisor. Amen. Miss Myra Maxwell works in the community down here on so many boards and so forth. So what God does when one door closes, he opens up another. Amen. And what God will do is provide an opportunity for you to connect with people to push you to your destiny. Amen. You'll see where I'm going with that in a minute. Amen. Psalm 13, 1 through 6. The text reads, how long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you look the other way when I am in need? How long must I be in hiding, daily anguish in my heart? How long shall my enemy have the upper hand? Answer me, O Lord, my God. Give me light in the darkness, lest I die. Don't let my enemies say, we have conquered him. Don't let them gloat that I am down. But I will always trust in you, and in your mercy shall I rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has blessed me richly. And I want to preach from the topic, if it doesn't kill you, it will make you stronger. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful to be able to get up on a Sunday morning and worship you, to be able to stand behind the sacred desk yet one more time. God, I stand humbly, Father God, with nothing but love and joy in my heart to be back home to the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. So many people are here, God, that have shown love and support to my family. And then there are others, God, that have fought other battles, God, and they have went on to be home with you in glory. But I thank you for the cloud of witnesses that are now rooting us on in heaven, and for the sisters and brothers that keep coming, fighting every Sunday, trying to make this church a better place for the community, for their families, God, and for the kingdom. Lord, I pray now that I might be a blessing to this congregation, and that you remove the flesh and anything in me not like you, and that the people would literally see Jesus Christ crucified, lifted up, and resurrected. Speak now, Lord, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Church of the Redeemer Baptist, if you took a poll this morning or a survey in the room today, and you asked each person what they are going through right now, you ask them what question of how long are they asking the Lord, you would probably get so many different answers that you could write a decade worth of book series. There's the grandparent in the room now raising great-grandchildren after raising grandchildren, asking the Lord, how long do I keep doing this? There is somebody in the room right now fighting a terminal illness, or has a family member fighting a terminal illness. And they're asking the Lord this morning, Lord, how long must I do this? There's the mother in the room who is asking God, how long will my children struggle with addiction? But then there's a father also in the room asking God, how long will I have to work 3 jobs and still can't make ends meet? There's the couple in the room, church, asking God, how long will we keep fighting for our house and the bank keeps trying to foreclose on it again? There's the young adult in the room this morning, brother and sister deacon, asking, how long will I have to live under my parents' roof, getting underpaying jobs with a master's degree in an economy that the president said is good for black people? But I can't find a decent paying job, and I already have work experience. There's the single woman in the room this morning, church, asking the Lord, how long do I have to deal with being a single woman or man? And Lord, how long do I have to wait around watching everybody else get married and get a ring put on it, yet I am still single? Lord, how long? There is the addict in the room asking the Lord, how long will it take for me to get clean, God? I want to do it. I'm trying to do it, but I'm struggling before I lose my entire family or I lose my life. Lord, how long? There's the church member in the room asking, how long do we have to go without a pastor again because those who are supposed to be in charge making wrong decisions that are unspirit-led, and we keep getting those who want to preach and not really pastor and serve God's people? How long? There is the teenager in the room asking the Lord, how long do I get bullied on social media and nobody hears me before I snap out and lash out at somebody? Lord, how long? Then there's the children that I work every day with in middle school and elementary school asking the question, Mommy and Daddy, how long must this molestation happen right under your nose or roof? And I got to go to school and be around family and smile and act like everything is all right and you don't even see it. How long? There are teachers asking, how much longer do we get overworked and underpaid and got to deal with mental health issues before we can even educate our children? There's the elder in the room and the neighbor asking, how long must we live in a neighborhood plagued by violence, gentrification happening right around the corner from me, yet I dodge bullets every night, drugs on my corner, lock in dirty streets to get inside my home? But the politicians tell me, just keep voting in my district. Then, church, there are those who are fighting for black justice for our boys. daily for our girls. And they're asking the question, how long must our boys and girls die in the streets while corrupt officers don't even get tried or convicted? Murdered, even sitting in your own apartment. Lord, how long? Finally, Redeemer, there are those in church asking, how long must we jump and shout on Sunday mornings and our so-called pastors, preachers, ministers, deacons, and elders preach a feel-good message that does not speak to the situations in the community? Lord, how long? Church, all of us have a question for God about how long. But I came to tell you, if the situation doesn't kill you, Redeemer, oh, it'll only make you stronger. Walk with me for King David. Amen. Here in the text in Psalm 13, we find King David, who loved the word of God, who loved to pray, loved to praise, loved unity among the brothers and sisters. David, who wrote the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. David, who wrote the 27th Psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. David, who hated every false way. David, a man after God's own heart, feeling like he was in sinking sand because of his current circumstances. If David can ask the question, Redeemer, how long? Don't you ever feel like you cannot question God? Scholars do not know why exactly he wrote the psalm. They say that David wrote the psalm because it could have been about Saul pursuing him. David could have been hurt because his son Absalom, who was just like him, had turned his back on him. David could have been hurt about his situation with Bathsheba. And I'm actually glad the scholars don't know why David wrote the psalm, because what you and I can do, church, is fit our how long right in David's song. Are you with me here this morning? All of us have a how long question for God. The first thing David does in the text, though, he asks, how long will you forget me? This particular psalm, church, is considered an individual lament. And David felt alone. He felt abandoned by God. And he felt like the very presence of God had been hit or absent in this situation. David is talking to God as if God is going to answer his prayer right away. So the first thing he does in the text in verse 1 and 2, he makes a complaint to God. But then he makes an appeal and cries out to God. And then he makes a song of faith and confidence in God. David was weary, church, because of his situation. Have you ever came to church every Sunday, went to Bible study? You know the word inside out. If you can take your halo off for a moment and be honest, you have been weary in your life with God every now and then. Do I have somebody in the room honest enough to say, I know the word, I know the psalms, I know the hymns, but God, I'm just not feeling it right now? David says, you're not alone. You're not by yourself, because in the Bible, some of the greatest people have felt alone. So it's okay to feel alone sometimes, church, but you don't have to be lonely. Come here, Jeremiah, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets, often wept because of the spiritual condition of the people to whom he ministered. And once in a moment of bitterness, he even cursed the day of his own birth. On another occasion, he was so discouraged that he vowed to never preach again. I've been there, Jeremiah. Oh, come here, John the Baptist, and testify. A man after God's own heart, who was said in the Bible that no one greater had been born of a woman. He began, though, to have doubts while sitting in prison, waiting on Jesus, wondering if Jesus was the real Messiah. Have you ever been in a prison in your own mind, and you knew God was faithful, but you just was not feeling like God was coming fast enough? Come here, Apostle Paul, Christ's most faithful follower, church. Years after his conversion, though, Paul cried out, oh, what wretched man that I am. If we would really be honest about the thorn in our side and our flesh sometimes, church, it makes you ask God, how long, Lord, will I struggle with this sin? But David, I'm glad he doesn't just stop at his how long. He keeps on writing. David says, how long, in verse 2, must I hide anguish in my heart and my enemy have the upper hand? Day after day, David had to watch his enemy gloat over his current condition. Have you ever had somebody that's in your life or your circle? You know this person doesn't mean you well. You know they don't want good for you. And you're struggling in your life. And yet it seems like they have the upper hand. Amen. Oh, but I stopped by to tell you, David wants you and I to know that enemies make you stronger. Amen. History has shown that the Roman Empire remained great as long as she had enemies who forced her to be unified and have a vision and be heroic in her community. And when she had overcome them all, she flourished for a moment, then began to die. Because it is like the great evangelist Billy Graham said, mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valley, church. I stop by to tell you today, life is not going to be filled with riches, money, and fame. And these preachers and pastors and deacons need to stop lying to you, telling you you're going to get a blessing, telling you you're going to get a house, telling you you're going to get a man, telling you you're going to get this, telling you you're going to get that. Some of y'all have been waiting the whole 8 years I've been gone, and you still ain't got it yet. But God is faithful even in your struggles with your enemies. If you never got any of the tangible things, can you still praise God? David, he gets antsy with God in verse 3. He says, answer me, God. Give light to my eyes or I'm going to die. You ever felt like your situation was going to kill you, church? David begins to pray for God to hear him and open his eyes. He realized if God did not open his eyes, church, he would die and his enemies would win and brag that they beaten the man of God and rejoice. The effects of his mental and spiritual struggle on his body began to show on his face. You do know, church, that if you stay stressed out long enough and you go through a thing long enough, what's going on the inside will begin to show on the outside. Studies have shown that cancer and stress and high blood pressure, it is not just the symptom of the disease. It is the actual working of the disease on the inside that makes you look that way on the outside. But what David does, David feared that his trial would literally end his life. But David understood a principle that no matter what he was going through, God was faithful. And David teaches us that our burdens in life can become our bridges, church. If we look at the thing successful, church, if you're going to be used by God, he's going to take you through a multitude of experiences. And they are not meant just for you. Some of this stuff is meant for our grandchildren and our children's children and our church members watching us. But all of these things that we deal with in life are meant to make us useful in God's hands. Can I testify for a moment? Oh, it ain't been an easy 8 years, amen? But God's been faithful through many dangers, toils, and snares. I've already come, but God has been faithful thus far, and it's God that'll lead us faithful home. Can I testify for a minute, church? Right after the year that I was let go by Redeemer, the next year, the school that I worked for, the same month, closed down right in the community. This is when Mayor Nutter was in office, and he shut down all the alternative schools. 2 years back to back, finding myself with no unemployment, no job, amen, with a degree, no criminal record, almost lost the house. But God is so faithful. Somebody knew I needed a job. It was part time, and they stepped up to the plate, got me a job at the school district. That job led to another job working with men in prison. That job led to another job, and then that job led to Bethana. And I've not made it, but I'm not through, because if it doesn't kill your church, it will only make you stronger. God will use your burden to become your bridge. Can I be real? Can I keep it real? At the prison, I saw some of y'all visiting y'all kids. Amen. Yeah, come on, come on. Preach, pastor. Preach, minister. Preach, reverend. Preach, deacon. Amen. I stopped by to tell you all of us are going through something in life, and we need each other. We cannot make it without each other, church. Oh, but if we would only be real about our struggles, it would be a blessing to our children. So while my wife and I are going through these blessings, amen, my daughter's seeing me almost give up. How in the world, God, can I preach all these funerals, all these souls come get saved on Sunday morning, people getting saved at funerals, Lord? How in the world could I be faithful and give and tithe and serve all of this time, God? And you can't do better than this? Oh, but can I tell you how good God is? Josephine Bright, God rest her soul, was the first one that start being a blessing in the mail. Then Jill Jacobs after that. I remember their names in order. Amen. And then there were some other folk. The checks kept coming and rolling in. Amen. When I didn't have an income, God sent the kindness of folk to help my bridge get from one end to the next end. So my burden became my blessing, because when you are faithful to God, He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen begging bread. Can I tell you the truth, church? God is faithful more than you ever could imagine. Yeah. In verse 4, he says, God, don't let my enemies say that we've conquered them. Don't let them gloat when I'm down. You see, church, it's good to have peace within you, but it's also good to have protection around you. David understood that a day is coming when the shame will change tides, amen? The contempt will be poured out on those who poured it out on us, amen? Stop fighting your enemies. Stop going back and forth with them. Stop using your tongue to beat people down, because the very situation you're in may be used to be a blessing to your life. Do you want to know how many more friends I got around me now that are faithful and those that I lost because I hadn't heard from them, hadn't seen them, hadn't got a card in the mail, a visit, a text, an email, nothing, but God sent some other folk in my life. I got a brother right now who's been blessing us for 8 years straight, amen? Just took us to Great Adventure last Sunday, paid for the whole family. Not a meal had to be paid for. All I had to do was get in the car, drive over to Jackson, New Jersey, walk in the park, and enjoy the day with my adult daughters. God will make sure your burdens and bridges get you over troubled water if you are faithful. And learn to thank God for your struggles. I thank you, Redeemer, because so many of you send emails, cards, and y'all ain't gonna like this, but my boy Deacon Nix ain't missed a month of visits, amen? Faithful unto death, came by the house almost once a month, church. Called all the time just to say hello. If it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. I know what some of y'all think about Nix, and I know that some of y'all say whatever about Deacon Nix, but do you understand what it means to be a friend when somebody is alone and in darkness? Amen. Thank God for people like Mr. Reg and Sister Debbie who put food by the house. God made sure all our needs were met according to his riches and glory. And I stop by to tell you that if you humble yourself and learn to thank God for your struggles, God's got a blessing on the way, on the way, on the way. I'm almost out your way. Listen, come here, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, come here and testify. Steve Jobs was put up for adoption when he was a kid. Amen. He used to use LSD and marijuana in college to cope with his problems. He co-founded Apple in 1976 with another gentleman by the name of Steve Wozniak. They created the first Apple computer in 1979. But as much as his success that he had, Apple forced him out in 1985. Many of his investors knew he was struggling, but look at how God works. Disney Pixar, responsible for the first Toy Story movie. They picked him up on a contract. 1996 comes around. Apple announces a deal with NXT for $427 million. The deal was finalized in February of 1997, bringing Steve Jobs, watch this, back to the company that he co-founded. See how God works? Jobs became de facto chief, and then the ex-CEO was ousted in July of 1997. Preach, y'all. About to get this in a second. He was formally named interim chief executive that September. And then in 1997, Apple and NXT merged. Jobs became the CEO. Watch this. The iMac was created. iTunes was created. The iTunes store was created. The Apple store was created. The iPod was created. Then comes the iPhone that all of y'all on and some of y'all probably on right now. Then there comes the App Store and the iPad were born. But wait, watch this. In 2003, he was diagnosed with a pancreatic tumor. Hadn't he been through enough already? But he didn't let the diagnosis kill him. Before he passed away at age 56 in October 2011. Even church while terminally ill in the hospital. Jobs made a device that would hold the iPad in a hospital bed. Oh, my goodness. He despised the oxygen monitor on his finger, so he suggested ways to revise the design to make it more simpler. Since his death, the CEO of Apple has won 141 patents, more than any inventor during their lifetime. Currently today, Jobs holds over 450 patents to his name. His body may have died, church, but his legacy still lives on. And he's stronger and better and hopefully in a better place. So maybe today, Redeemer, you came in church like David and you asked the question, how long, Lord? Why me, Lord? Or maybe you feel like your situation will never change. I got good news for you, Redeemer. Your verse 6 is coming, church. Before we get to verse 6, we got to get through verse 5. David says, I'll trust in your mercy and rejoice in your salvation. Can I teach for a moment? In the middle of his prayer, church, something strange happens to David. Pastor Myra, the text shifts, and David begins looking backward over his life, and then he begins to look forward. David says, I will trust in your mercy and rejoice in your salvation. David is saying in the verse, church, that I am confident that God will triumphantly vindicate me because of who God is and how God works. David is saying, I look back over my life and I've learned that faith rejoices in tribulation and triumphs before the victory. That's why Marvin Sapp saying, praise him in advance. That's why I'm not going to make you praise him. I'm not going to push you to praise him. I'm not going to make you get up and raise your hands, because what you don't know, when you don't worship God, when your circumstances are bad, when you don't praise him in advance, you just might be blocking your blessing. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you got to learn how to encourage yourself sometimes. You got to learn sometimes, church, that trouble don't last always. And tell yourself that. Who better to minister to you than you, church? Who better to tell you that you're beautiful in the morning than you, church? Who better to tell you you're a royal priesthood, church, than you, church? Who better to tell you you're a man of God or a woman of God than you, church? Stop waiting for the deacon, the elder, the pastor, the minister to minister to you, and you minister to yourself. David says, I can rejoice in my salvation in the Lord, because I know that God is merciful, that God has been merciful, and that God will be merciful. They tried to kill me, but it didn't work. David says, they tried to take my anointing, but it didn't work. David said, they tried to slander my name, but it didn't work. David said, they killed my son and tried to destroy me there, but it didn't work. David said, sin almost got me with Bathsheba, but it didn't work. Why, church? Because David knew that God was faithful. Listen, I'm going here and I'm getting out of here to serve community. The final thing I need you to get is this. One of the greatest NFL running backs in history. 5 feet, 10 inches tall. 202 pounds. Not large for his age or size. Since his NFL opening day, I need you to hear me. He set a record for being one of the greatest running backs in the history of the sport. He has the all-time rushing record of 16,726 yards. During his 12-year career, church, Walter Payton carried the football over 9 miles. What is impressive, church, is that on average every Sunday, he got knocked to the ground 4.4 yards each time out of those 9 miles by someone bigger than himself. But he kept getting back up, church. And he kept getting back up, church. And he kept getting back up, church. And he kept getting back up, church. The greatest victories that you and I await, we're going to have some enemies, church, that's going to knock us down. But I'm so glad that David wants us to learn to keep getting back up. Oh, Church of the Redeemer, I've been here during your great years. You are a work in progress now. But I stopped by to tell you, oh, you might have lost 2 good pastors. Amen. But you keep getting back up. Oh, church, I know the pews aren't filled like you want. But what they tried to do didn't kill your Redeemer. Oh, but it's got to make you stronger. Oh, leaders, I need you to lead now more than you've ever led before. They're going to try to knock you down, Nix. They're going to try to knock you down, Prayer Warrior Lawrence. They're going to try to knock you down, New Deacons, and tell you you don't know enough. You ain't served long enough. Oh, trustees, your numbers may be few. And you may need to find a little bit more help and a little bit more faithfulness in some folk around you. Oh, choir, I know the numbers are not like it used to be. And I know you need help, Sister Tamika, but you keep singing every Sunday. And you keep playing every Sunday. Deacons, you keep praying every Sunday. Oh, you ministers behind me. Pastor Omari did a good job with y'all. I'm so glad y'all had somebody that was being faithful until death. He trained and ordained you well. And he prayed and trained you well. And I stopped by to tell y'all, don't you worry about what they say or think about your preaching, because I preach behind one of the greatest preachers in America, and I stopped by to tell you, I got some emails in my time trying to tell me what to preach. I got some folk telling the pastor, homie, but I kept getting back up. I kept standing behind this desk. I kept telling folk repent from their sins. I kept being faithful unto death. I kept coming every Sunday. Why? Because I knew verse 6 was coming. David said in verse 6 that no matter what's going on, I will sing to the Lord a new song. Your remix is coming, church. God is working on a remix for you. You know what a remix is, right? A remix is a song remade. You can't live like you used to live no more. You can't sing like you used to sing no more, because you got a new anointing. And with a new anointing comes a new song. I don't know what you're singing this morning, but thank God he's the God of the remix. I don't know about you, but praise is what I do. Even though I'm going through, I've learned to lift my hands in praise. I don't know about you, but my song is, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stain. I don't know what you're singing, but I'm singing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to know God's promises. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. Jesus, Jesus, how I prove him more and more. Thank God." Verse 6 is coming, church. Because if it doesn't kill you, it will only make you stronger. I said, if it doesn't kill you, it will only make you stronger. Now I know why the old folks saying, "I've been lied on, I've been cheated, I've been talked about, mistreated." Have you ever been mistreated? Oh, I've been up, I've been scorned, talked about, show as you're born. I've been up, I've been down, almost level to the ground. But as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need the acclamation of men and women. I don't need the hosannas, because they'll hosanna you one day and crucify you the next. But I'm so glad that I got King Jesus. And as long as you got King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. Redeemer, the door of the church is open as we rest on our feet. If whatever you're going through, if you don't allow it to kill you, church, it will make you stronger. David made a declaration: "I'm not going to let this kill me. What's your how long? What is your this?" Do you know why David, church, was able to do what he did? It's because he knew the word. Now, I know y'all ain't think I was going to come here and not testify after 8 years. Amen. Because if that's the case, you ain't know who you was dealing with. Amen. So I stopped by to let you know that probably after the 6th year, instead of having a pity party, I began to thank God for my struggles. Not many young boys that were incarcerated I have had the opportunity to minister to and meet. There's a rapper right now, young boy from Philly, LGP Choir, Let's Get Paid Choir. Bad young boy. Had him in my class at the halfway house. Do you know, as a teacher, when you see a young guy like that doing those kind of things and you saw that in them and you speak life into them? I did this at Bethana, amen? You know how many young children I'm able to minister to as a life skills coach, going into these high schools, going into these homes, and being able to tell them when I'm able to that Jesus can fix it, amen? That no matter how hard it is and what you're dealing with, if it doesn't kill you, Lord, have mercy, it'll make you stronger. Redeemer, I love you enough to tell you that whatever you are going through in your life right now, don't let it kill you. Somebody might have died that you love. It ain't your time yet. You got more life to live. I didn't come rub anything in your face. No, don't misunderstand that. I know us, amen. But what I came to do is to let you know that you can see I'm still eating, right? Trying to slim down a little bit, amen. Amen. Still got a roof over my head, clothes on my back. So when you see me, you're seeing a living testimony of how faithful God is. One daughter in college, right? Get ready to become a lawyer in a few years, amen. That came out of this church in the middle of all that, still deciding that they love God in spite of the hurt and the pain. Amen. two other ones, one grade go in the military, one grade become a teacher or a veterinarian. They're not perfect girls because they didn't have perfect parents, but I couldn't ask for a better three daughters in my life. Oh my God. Faithfulness of God. Because even when you feel like the worst is happening to you, God is doing something to bless your children. What you're going through may not be for you. You can't let it kill you. But you got to allow it to make you stronger. The door of the church is open. Do you know how you do that first? You got to have some word in you. And if you don't have word in you, you do not have the capacity to say verse 6 is coming. Because you ain't met Jesus yet to know what it feels like to have a song in your heart from the first place. Oh, but when you met the Lord, amen, and he touched you, sometimes he need to touch you again. I'm talking to the backslider right now. Maybe you were in church, but you let your stuff mess you up and almost make you lose your life. You went back to drugs and alcohol, or you went back to your old lifestyle or old friends and old affiliate. Do you know how many people I see from this church that went to become a part of Islam? It breaks my heart. But I'm telling you today, if that's your story and you just came by to be nosy, you're here for a reason, and God got you in these four walls to bring you back home to Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you something about Islam and being a Muslim. I know some strong sisters and brothers that are in Islam. No disrespect to them. But I know some folk that we came Muslims from Christianity. Once the Lord puts the imprint on your heart, no matter how far you go into another religion, you will always have the imprint of Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside of you. So maybe you stray. Maybe you walked away. Maybe it's not Islam, it's Buddhism. Or maybe you say, you know what, Pastor Young? I'm not going to believe anything because I don't like the way the church is. And I don't like the way this is. And I don't like the way that is. I stop by to tell you, everything is messed up. Everybody's messed up from the White House to mine and your house. But that's why we need Jesus Christ, because he is the propitiation for our sins. He is perfect even when you and I are not. Backslider, come on home. Maybe I'm talking to somebody that just needs a church home. We invite you to Redeemer, my sister, my brother. Now, if you're looking for a church that's perfect, wherever you go, they're going to have something going on. Amen. So you're going to go and bring your stuff, your something, and you're going to put it with all the other somethings. Amen. And y'all going to have a whole lot of something going on. But if you got a right pastor and if you got Jesus in the house, it will be all right. Amen. I hear you. Y'all don't got a pastor right now. But the pastor is Jesus. Amen. Till they get an under shepherd, Jesus is the pastor. And so the leaders will hold each other accountable to make sure they're following Jesus. I hear you. That's real. But if you ain't going nowhere at all, what is the harm in becoming part of this body of Christ? So as they select the next pastor, amen, a pastor who will love on them, a pastor who will shepherd them and go to the hospitals and all that, you have to be a part of that. Pastors serve faithfully here. Omari, Pastor Croft, serve faithfully here. Amen. Ain't no perfect pastor. Stop, church, with that. But until your church gets a shepherd, come be a part of that process. Help them pick the kind of man or woman of God. Yeah, I say a woman. Amen. That you want. New day, church. I know the old Baptist way, but you better start doing it God's way. Amen. Whole lot of anointed, spirit-filled women out here. So whoever they choose, I need you to understand that you need to be a part of that. Why do I need a church family? Because you need people praying for you when you can't pray for yourself. Why do I need a church family? Because you need somebody's shoulder to lean on when you have those how long questions that you just cannot answer. Do you know I'm so glad that even though we don't go to the same church, that most of my friends that I'm connected with these past 8 years, I can call them when something's going on. They can call me and we can minister to each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Right now you got a butter knife if you're not in church. But if you want a sword and you want some iron, you got to get connected to a church. Before you take your seats, the last thing I want to share with you is this. Do you know the privilege of being able to work in the community you live, being able to serve in church in the community where you live, and being able to work for the church in the community where you live? Do you know how awesome it would be if you joined a church in your neighborhood and made a difference? Can I tell you firsthand how many children are vulnerable in this community that need a good church like Redeemer to go back to being the Redeemer they used to be? Amen. Getting their butts out these doors in them streets again. Amen. I live around here. I know what y'all doing. Amen. I've been down here 20 years. I ain't went nowhere yet. Amen. So I know the things I see and hear, but I also know the heart of this church. I know where you were going, and I know where you will go. Amen. If you're obedient to the Lord. Why don't you come and be a part of that work in your community where you live? Do you know that gentrification might change this whole area if we're not careful, and it won't be a church of the Redeemer if we're not careful? Sister or brother, they need you here. Is there one today not saved in a backslidden condition or in need of a church home? The deacons will walk with you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.